by shout. This is a solid portion of the Word of God. The Word of God is solemn indeed. The truth of God is solemn. But it's also necessary if we are brought to know the saving truths of the gospel. I often have said that the things of God are solemn, and yet they are blessed. And we have in this chapter some of the solemn truths which the Lord Jesus brought before the people during his ministry here and now. He was indeed a solemn preacher. And you will notice in this chapter how the two characters are set before us, as they are set before us throughout the scripture. The two people, the righteous and the wicked. Those who fear God and those who fear not. Oh, there are, my friends, throughout the scriptures, these two people spoken of. Again, to refer to Jacob, you remember before the birth of Jacob and Esau, how they said there were two people in Rachel, in Rebekah's womb, Esau and Jacob. Esau represents those who fear not God. And Jacob sets forth the Lord's people. For the word of God says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. We see there the sovereignty of God. God is a sovereign, my friend. He has a right to choose some and leave others. He has a sovereign right to do his pleasure, both in heaven and in earth. And in this chapter, and in this case before us, we have the two characters, the two people set before us. In this chapter, the Lord speaks about the 10 virgins. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. And then there was the faithful servant and the unfaithful servant. And then again there was the sheep and the goats. The Lord speaks very solemnly about that final separation when he will divide the sheep from the goats. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand. And who are the sheep but those who fear him? Those who love him? Those who follow him? Those who are brought to fear him and need him? He'll say to them, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But to those on his left hand, he will say those solemn words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, it's a solemn consideration. If we do not hear that coming blessing, we shall hear those solemn words, depart, ye cursed. And they that were ready went in, and the door was shut. We have here 10 virgins spoken of. The Lord Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. No doubt, outwardly, these 10 virgins appeared the same. They were 10 virgins, and they all had lamps, which I feel signifies they all had a profession. They all had a profession. But my friends, it's not enough to have a mere lamp of profession, unless we have possession. There are those like the foolish virgin, to our professors only. And some may be preachers too. Oh, it's solemn. I'm not speaking unkindly. I'm speaking to myself, my friend. One often has to question these things as to whether we should be just a mere professor. Because it's solemnly possible for one to preach and to be make a great profession and yet to know savingly or vitally. To lack possession. Because that was the difference between these 10 virgins. They were all professors. They all had lands. But in the case of those who were wise, they not only had the lack of profession, but they had possession. They had oil in their vessels with their lamps. And that was a thing that was vital, was it not? The thing that was needful. Oil. What good were their lamps without any oil in them? They'd give no light. There'd be no use, would they? And my friends, what is a profession? Wherever great it may be, without possession. Unless we know what we profess. Unless we have that inward work of grace in the soul. Unless we have the teaching of the Holy Spirit. As I quoted that word in the prayer, and it's a searching word, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, what is it then to be read? You see, in the case of all these virgins, no doubt the foolish thought they were ready. Oh, I'm sure they did. They thought they were ready. Oh, how solemn it is when people think they're ready, think that their religion would do to die with, and yet when they come to the end, they find it will not do. Oh, how solemn to be laid in the balance and to be found wanting. To be found wanting of the one thing needful. To lack that one thing, like the man you remember who came to Christ, who had great possessions, and who seemed to be very earnest and sincere. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, thou shalt keep love thy neighbour as thyself. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack are ye? But the Lord knew what he lacked, and he knew what was in him. He said, get one thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that thou hast, and take up thy cross, and follow me. And he lacked the one thing needful, the same as these foolish virgins. The one thing that was most needful, the one thing that was most vital, they lacked. Oh, how solemn then, to lack the one thing needful. But how blessed to possess it. Christ said, did he not, to Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And there is a turn that good power, which will not be taken away from her. Not for what Martha is a gracious character. We have reason to believe that Martha was a gracious character, for Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Lazarus. But the Lord, you see, reproved Martha and told her what the one thing needful was. And what is the one thing needful but to know Christ? Jesus engraven on my heart. Is that our prayer? But thou the one thing needful art. It will be a mercy if that truth was more deeply engraven upon our hearts and upon our souls. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They were all professors, but five were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels, with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They were all in a slumbering condition. Even the wise virgins were not watching, but they slumbered and slept. What a solemn thing to slumber and sleep, and to be careless and indifferent regarding these solemn things, like the foolish virgin. How shall we escape, said Paul in writing to the Hebrews, if we neglect so great salvation? There is a solemn neglecting of these things, is there not? Man left to his natural condition, he will neglect these things. He will indeed. It's a mercy if we have been made wise unto salvation. We have that word, it comes to my mind in Deuteronomy, where the Lord speaks to Israel, and he said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Do we consider our latter end? As we hear one another passing away, does it not remind us of the need of being ready, of being prepared? Oh, surely it speaks to us, does it not? And some are taken without a moment's warning, some young in life, taken from time into eternity. I say, does it not speak to us? Does it not narrowly speak to us the need of being ready and being prepared to stand before God's face? And who can prepare us but the Lord? It's a good prayer which one of the poets praise, and I hope I can say it's my prayer, and I believe I can say it's been my prayer for years. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, which is all of grace. Oh, is that our prayer? If there should be any here, and that is not their prayer, my desire and prayer is that the Lord will make it your prayer, and that he may give you that concern and that exercise about your immortal soul. Because each of us, my friends, have an immortal soul. We are dying mortals, and we are fast hastening to eternity. Soon, the place that knows us now will know us no more. Are we ready? Are we ready? Paul, thy soul, do we pause? Do we consider? William Gadsby wrote that solemn yet blessed, pause my soul and ask the question. Am I ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? It's not enough to be a nominal Christian, like these foolish virgins were, but it's to be real Christians. True religion, my friends, is a reality. It's a reality. It's known and felt in the soul. It's an experience. True religion is. Good doctrines can do me no good while floating in the brain, unless I know the truth and the power and the savour of those doctrines in my heart, in my soul. For God's doctrine to drop as a rain and to distill as a dew upon our soul. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Oh, my friends, a mere lack of profession will go out. A mere nominal religion will do no good. It will be sparks of our own kindling. How solemn to have only sparks of our own kindling. But what a mercy to have those sparks of life which the Lord kindles, which is the work of the Spirit. And that prayer put in our hearts, which one hymn writer says is the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. To have that begun and carried on in our souls. Because if the Lord begins, he will carry on and complete. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, says, be confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But someone may say, but the point with me is, has the Lord begun this good work in me? Has he begun with me? Oh, my friends, have you been brought to that place where you cannot do without the Lord? You cannot do without his mercy, without his salvation. And you know a little of that hymn, what which we've just been singing of, Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face, blessed urgent face. Oh, if that is your desire and prayer, and you feel you cannot do without the Lord, you cannot do without his mercy, then I'm sure of this, he will not do without you. Is it not an evidence that the good work has begun? If there is a real concern, if there is a real exercise, if there is a cry in your heart, God Lord, I say it's a sign, an evidence, that the good work has been begun. If there is a true desire after God, and he who has begun will complete. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us. And you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. The wise were shut in. The foolish were shut out. Solomon. Blessed for those who were shut in. Solomon for those who were shut out. And then we read afterwards. There they came. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Oh, may the Lord help us to watch and to pray. Watch therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man will come. But I want to speak regarding this being ready. They that were ready, waiting. What is it to be ready? It's to be prepared. Ready to stand before God's face. Man, as he is born in sin, and shaken in iniquity, is not ready. He's unprepared. Man by nature is destitute of grace, dead in trespasses and in sins. As if Paul reminds the Ephesians how that they were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Christ and without God in the world. And what was true of those Ephesians, their natural condition is true of all the sons of Adam. We are without God. We are unprepared. We are not ready. And as sinners, born in sin and chained in iniquity, ruined in the Adam fall, we are exposed to the wrath of God. Oh, think of it, my friends. Think and tremble. Or if we are still total strangers to his name and cause, think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. Solemn if death comes and find us unprepared. Solemn if when we're not ready. For as a tree falls, so it dies. As a tree falls, so it dies. What a person is, when he dies, he'll be in eternity. If he dies unprepared, my friends, he will sink to that place where hope and mercy can never come. Oh, we shall either die in our sins or die in the Lord, one or the other. If we die in our sins, Christ says, verily he is, we cannot come. But to die in the Lord is to die in faith and to die in hope. It is to have this preparation. It is to have this readiness to be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in life. The Lord's people, those who have the God of Jacob for their help, they are a prepared people for a prepared place. The Lord prepares them by His Spirit and by His grace for heaven. He prepares them for glory. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright, and they that were ready. Oh, my friends, to be ready is to be born again. Oh, this is essential. Regeneration. Ye must be born again, said Christ to Nicodemus. Oh, Nicodemus couldn't understand what he meant. He thought he was speaking of the natural birth, whereas the Lord was speaking of the spiritual birth. Oh, Nicodemus said, how can these things be? How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born? Marvel not, the Lord said, I said unto thee, he must be born again. Oh, the necessity of it. Oh, my friends, there's nothing so essential, so necessary, as the new birth. For except ye be born again, he said to Nicodemus, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Marvel, don't be astonished. I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And those words which Christ uttered so long ago, they have not lost their importance. No, they are just as important tonight. Just as necessary tonight. As when the Lord spoke there to Nicodemus, ye must, but ye may be, but you must be born again. All the necessity of it, to be born of the Spirit, to be born from above. And this birth, my friends, is of the Spirit. They that are born of the flesh, that which is born of the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And the Lord goes on to speak to Nicodemus about the new birth and the effects of it. How did the wind blow it where it listed? And thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or where it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. All the necessity then of being born again. Born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, do you ask this question? Am I born of God? Show me some token, Lord, for good, said the hymn writer. Some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. If that is your prayer, you are born of God. You are indeed. If you want the Lord to show you this, if you have a concern, an exercise, and a cry, isn't that a sign of life? Isn't that a sign of the new birth? Where there is no cry, there's no life. I often have said, when an infant is born, the sign of life is the cry. The cry. If there's no life, no cry, there's no life, is there? And so it is, my friends, in the soul that's born of God. If there's no cry after God, there's no evidence of the new if there is a God, if there is a God at all, if there is prayer, it's a sign of the new birth. Prayer, true prayer, is the effect of the new birth, the effect of regenerating grace. If the Lord has put in your heart that cry for mercy, if the prayer of the publican is your prayer and mine, oh, this is to be ready, my friends. This is to be prepared to be brought to where the publican was, to have that concern about their never dying soul, and to cry to the Lord for mercy. The Pharisee, in his prayer, he was satisfied with himself. He was like the foolish virgin. He thought he was ready. Yes, he had a lack of profession. He was a great professor. But there was no need, no cry in his heart. No need for mercy. He thought he was right. He thought he was prepared. But how sorry to be deceived in these all important matters. But what about the public? Oh, he felt to be such a sinner. So held his earth. He could not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. But he stood afar off. And he smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Or if you'll be brought to where the publican was, that's a preparation. That's to be made ready. If you've been brought to cry for mercy, because the Lord will have mercy upon all those who cry unto him. He will be found of those who seek him. He will indeed. And as I said this morning, he has never said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye my face in vain. To him do thou alone complain, thou canst not seek his face. Oh, then to be ready is to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is to be ready. To be the subject of a new creation, of a new birth. To have new eyes, new ears, new feet. Oh, this is to be ready. Be also ready. I know the Lord alone can effect this new birth. He alone can give us a heart to pray. But our son, to have no concern about these things. Oh, may the Lord in mercy give to each of us that concern, that exercise, as to our matters stand with us for a never-ending eternity. For we are dying mortal. Solemn thing to come down to die and not be ready. It was a solemn word that the Lord sent his servant, the prophet Isaiah, to Hezekiah with, was it not? Hezekiah was a man of God. But the Lord sent to him that solemn word, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, what an effect that had upon Hezekiah, didn't it? It caused him to humble himself before God. He turned his face to the wall, and he prayed, and he wept sore. Oh, it was a solemn word for the servant of God to come with him with. And isn't it a solemn word we have to preach? All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of grass. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death to judgment. It's a solemn word. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's still the same cry that we have to preach as Isaiah speaks of all flesh is grass. The voice said, what shall I cry? And it's the same cry, my friends, all flesh is grass. All the glory of man is a flower of grass. Grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord, of our God, shall stand for me. Oh, to be ready then is to be born again and to be made a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are born of God are those who possess faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. John says, that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Oh, do we believe in him? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? You remember how Christ, in speaking to Nicodemus, he goes on to speak to him of the necessity of believing in him. And he reminds Nicodemus, and I believe the good work had been begun in Nicodemus. Although at the time he came to Christ he was very ignorant, yet the Lord, I believe, taught him. And he said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And why, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, this is essential, to have living faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, was the answer that Paul and Silas gave to the jailer when he came threatening in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, the good work had been begun. He'd been awakened. He had a concern. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, this is essential, my friends, living faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath believed not in the only begotten Son of God. To be ready also is to be washed in the precious blood of Christ. Do you feel the need that precious blood to cleanse your guilty soul? Do you feel your uncleanness, my friend? We can't enter heaven in our unclean condition as we are by nature. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, has opened a fountain. We read in Zechariah, that in that day there should be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And that fountain is the blood of Jesus. Oh, my friends, this is to be ready, to be washed in the precious blood of Christ, to be cleansed from all our sins. Nothing but that precious blood can make us live forever. Oh, do you feel the need this cleansing flower? Do you come in with dear Top Lady when he says, black, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Do you feel your blackness? Your uncleanness? If you do, you're bad in the back. It is for such as feel their uncleanness. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Oh, this is to be ready, my friends, to be washed in that precious blood, to be cleansed. Paul said in writing to the Corinthians, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do we know the power of the precious blood of Christ? Has it been applied to our guilty conscience, so that we are sheltering beneath that blood? You remember how the Lord said, when I see the blood of us only. You will remember how the Lord told the Israelites to put blood upon the doorpost and upon the lintel, and how that the destroying angel would pass over them. Whereas the homes of the Egyptians were visited by death. But where there was the blood sprinkled, the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That was a token, a sign of their safety. And my friends, they that in the Lord confide. On shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpass and stand every storm, and in the last are we sheltering there? Are we sheltering beneath the precious blood of Jesus? Do we know its power? Paragraph goes on to say in that hymn, here since by faith thy soul was free, those flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. Oh, and that precious blood has never lost its power to save. It still cleanses from all sin. It still speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, my friends, do you know the power of this precious blood? Nothing else can fit us to heaven. Nothing else can wash away the deep stains of sin but the precious blood of Jesus. And Peter, speaking of this, reminds those to whom he is writing, ye are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. All to feel that that precious blood avails for us, and that our sins are washed away with that precious blood. I believe many years ago I entered a little into the experience of which the hymn writer says, when he said, now when I seek to find my sins can never be found. Oh, I felt before the Lord appeared to me, my sins would sink me to hell, where hope and mercy would never come. But when the Lord appeared, I felt they were gone, drowned in the ocean of his love. And I believe I felt as it did the poet, now when I seek to find my sins will never be found. But as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more forever. Oh, this is to be read, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Isn't this the song of the redeemed in heaven? Those who have come out of great tribulation and who stand before the throne, they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And they sing unto him that has loved us and washed us from our sins, be honour and glory and majesty and power. All this is then to be ready, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. David felt his need of this, didn't he, when he penned the 51st Psalm. Oh, he felt his uncleanness. He was made to feel what a sinner he was, and he was made to confess his sin before God and bless with true repentance. And he prayed, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. And what can make a soul whiter than snow? Nothing but the precious blood of God. That blood which was shed upon Calvary's cross. And in Gethsemane's garden. Oh, think of what he suffered, my friends, that poor sinners such as you and I might be made ready for him, that he might redeem a people for his praise. And then, and I see I must soon conclude, and to be made ready is to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. To have on that wedding garment. There'll be no entrance to heaven, my friends, without that wedding garment. There will be no entrance to heaven unless we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. His only blood was sold to bear the ransom and forgiven. And we cannot, in our feebly dress, appear before God, can we? You remember that solemn parable, how the man who came in without a wedding garment. And when the king came in and saw the guests, he said, friend, How can he stay hither without a weak God? He had nothing to say. He was condemned. He was speechless. He had no wedding God. And he was cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth. Oh, my friends, have we this wedding God? The righteousness of Christ. Is he our hope? Do we come in with the poet? Or let me come a little lower. Do we desire to come in with the poet when he said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I dare not trust the sweetest name, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, if we are brought there, our hope is there. If Christ is our righteousness, that should be ready. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. This flaming world with thee arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my hand. All this is to be ready, to have on this wedding garment. The Lord Jesus Christ takes his people's sins, he takes their guilt, their defilements, he strips them of all their fancied goodness, and all their fancied righteousness, in order that he might clothe them with his perfect righteousness, that glorious robe. He is made unto his people both wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that the Lord's people can say, the Lord have thy righteousness and strength. Oh, is he our righteousness? Are we complete in him? This is to be ready. For Christ to be made our righteousness. For he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is to be ready. To be complete in him. Paul speaks about it, he says, not having my own righteousness according to the law, but to having the righteousness of Christ, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, to be made conformable unto his death. This was the one desire that Paul was reaching after, pressing toward, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is our desire. If we are thus pressing, it to be ready, is it not? Those who are ready are those who press after Christ, who look to him. Oh, may it be our daily prayer and concern to be made ready. For they that were ready went in. They went in to the marriage. Oh, and what a blessed end is the end of the righteous, those that are ready. It's absent from the body, present with the Lord, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul, anticipating this, said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. My friends, death will be one or the other to us, either gain or loss, either eternal gain or eternal loss. Oh, think of the loss of a soul. What's it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door and his blessing. Amen.
The Lord will, the Father will preach here tomorrow evening, Mr. Stonewick next Sunday. Our collections last Wednesday amounted to £38.01. And next month, next Sunday will be our monthly collection. Let us close with hymn number 698, June 671. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to be called? Am I made in the likeness of what I believe in God? Am I union with the church's living head? June 671.